Please turn with me in God's word to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I want to get straight into the word tonight because then it gives us that time of prayer. We had a good time of prayer on Monday night. And also now as we come to the word tonight and then the pray after, we pray that God will warm our hearts. We're going through the doctrine of God. As Daniel said, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And so we're coming tonight to think of the incomparability of God. And that simply means that none can compare on to him. He is a wonderful Savior and a mighty God. So the incomparability of God, none can compare on to him. Deuteronomy chapter 33. We'll break into the reading at verse 26 down to verse 29. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell safely alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine, and his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Deuteronomy chapter 33 contains the last words spoken by Moses, the man of God, when he blessed the children of Israel before his death. Moses' last words to God's people comprise a song that commenced in the opening words of chapter 32 and then continued into chapter 33. In his song, Moses delivers a blessing to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he concludes his song by focusing the minds of the congregation upon their God and what it is to have the one and true living God as their saving trust and delight. In reality, Moses could sing this song and Moses could write these words because he spoke and he wrote and he sung from a personal relationship with God. He had that experience of the grace of God in his life. And therefore we draw application and we can say it is only the person who has experienced salvation in their soul, a life transformed by God as Moses' life was, that are able to speak of God in such a way that Moses did in these verses. When you have that saving relationship with the Lord, then you're able to speak of that relationship and sing about it to others. Nearing the end of his life, Moses desired in his closing words that all attention, all focus would be upon the Lord. And that ought to be the end, that ought to be the aim for our life, child of God. That our departing words, whether it comes from near the end of your own death or coming into the presence of a death of another, our parting words, our last words, ought to focus upon the Lord, because that's what Moses is doing in these last words. He wants the Lord to have the glory. He wants the people to focus upon his Savior. And Moses shows the Lord's people that the true and living God that they serve, and we looked at that thought last week, our God is the true and living God, the only true and living God, then none compares on to him. There's no God like our God. There's no Savior as our Savior. The incomparability of God. And therefore, Moses wanted the tribes of Israel to see that they were favored, they were blessed, having served the true and living God. As they would take their journey into the promised land without Moses to lead them, then he leads them with these thoughts in verse 26. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun. In other words, Moses presents in this chapter, in this song, a number of great truths about the true and living God. And as he does so, he seeks to bring before them, God is incomparable, or the incomparability of God. Who is like unto our God? There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. He's the one who saved us, redeemed us, sustains us, provides for us. He is the one, whenever you go into that land, he will go with you. He will go before you. He will provide for you. He is one who is true, one who is living, but there's none like unto him. And as we think of the statement or the teaching or the thoughts of the incomparability of God, it is revealed in scripture. You think of Hannah in her prayer. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, what did Hannah pray? And remember, these prayers in the Bible are there to help us in our praying. You want to learn how to pray. It is getting God's word open and learning to pray as people prayed in the word of God. What did Hannah pray in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2? There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And that is saying, basically, our God is incomparable. Who is like unto him? There's none as holy as him. There's none beside him. There's no rock like our God. Oh, all other gods fail. They're feeble, they're weak, they're false. You can't trust on them, depend upon them. But our God is the rock. He is the eternal one, the incomparable one. He will not fail his people. And that's a wonderful prayer to pray. And we ought to have even that prayer of Hannah in our lips as we seek the Lord in prayer. You think of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. That's another wonderful prayer, lifting up, boasting in the Lord, as we learned on Sunday. Thou art great, O Lord God, for there's none like unto thee. Or you think of Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23. And remember, Solomon is David's son. So this truth is passed down to him. And therefore, you think of an older generation passing down truth to a younger generation. That's why it's important in the prayer meeting to have young people, older people, middle-aged people. Because as we learn, as we hear people pray and pray on the ground of scripture, then we learn to pray as well through other people's praying as they get a hold of the word of God, the lessons that are passed down. And even parents pass down those lessons about the Lord to your children, your grandchildren, and even older ones to those who are younger. David said to Solomon, 1 Kings 8, 23, Lord God of Israel, there is none like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. So these are some examples among many in God's word about saints getting for prayer. And as they pray, they exalt the Lord, they boast in the Lord, they glory in the Lord. And while they pray, many wonderful truths that we will look at, the true and living God, the eternality of God. But here we've learned that they pray up and they consider in their prayer the incomparability of God. There's none like unto him. And so we ought to include that as well in our prayers. May our hearts be filled as we pray privately, as we pray publicly, lifting up our God. There's none like unto him. Notice, as we think of the incomparability of God, three simple thoughts tonight. God's incomparability is a revealed truth. When we know that God is, we know that God is incomparable because he has revealed this truth of himself by his word. All we know about God is what God has revealed of himself in his word. Those don't know that there. What we're bringing week after week is what God has revealed himself of in his word. God wants his creation to know there is none like on to the God of Jeshurun. There is none like on to him. We have already considered some of these thoughts, how God has revealed himself. But just to refresh your minds very briefly, God has revealed himself in creation, in natural revelation. We learn in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And since man obviously is a fallen creature, he cannot understand the book of nature as seen in creation. He looks at creation, he looks at the handiwork of God, but fails to see God's creative power. And therefore he tries to explain this world and the existence of this world and how we came about by every and any other way except the one true way, as we went back to the very first message. In the beginning, God created. God created the heaven and the earth, and God created mankind. Therefore, since natural revelation is not redemptive in nature, God gives special revelation, that is redemptive truth. And by the scriptures, God has revealed himself through Christ as the one who leads fallen men and women out of darkness, out of their sin, into the truth of the gospel. And therefore, it is by the scriptures of truth, God has revealed himself in his beloved Son, that there is none compared unto him. The psalmist makes this, makes the incomparability of God clear when he says in Psalm 136, verses 2-3, the God of gods and Lord of lords. There's none compared to him. He is not one of many. He alone is the true and living God, and he alone is to be worshipped. Man was created to worship God. However, since man is a fallen creature, blinded by the God of this world, he is blinded as which God to worship and the way in which he is to worship. Man, obviously, being created for worship, still desires to worship. And that desire is exercised by devoting all his attention on some object or some image to worship. Man creates this image, this idol. He gives a name to it, and he does so to worship it because he knows he was created to worship. However, to worship another God, to fail to worship the true and living God, is to break God's law. It is an attack on the nature of God. Whenever man worships false idols, whenever man fails to worship the true and living God, it is an attack on the nature of God. It is an attack on the incomparability of God. Because to worship another is to say that God is the same, or God is one of many gods. Remember Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. Right through to verse 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no graven, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. However, all these gods, images, idols, statutes that men worship are incomparable to the true and living God. He is above all. They are false. They are fake. And therefore, when Moses makes this point to the people before him, he's making this point that as they go into this land, and there will be the enemies with their gods, our God, who is the true and living God, there's none compared unto him. Because remember, in Exodus chapter 15, in another triumphant song, we learn these words, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And so in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, there is this song. And again, it's another song taken up with the incomparability of God. Who is like unto thee? The whole point is, there's none like unto thee. Thou art God and God alone. He makes mention of the deliverance from Egypt. Remember the Egyptians, they worshipped their own gods, their many gods, and you can look on history today and see all those different idols and things that they worshipped. But they're all false and fake. None to be compared to the Lord. Remember we learnt last week when we looked at the true and living God from 1 Kings chapter 18 and the prophets of Baal, they began to pray to their many gods, crying for their gods to answer, but none answered, none regarded, none paid attention because they were the invention of man. They were feign and fake. But the true God of heaven, none can be compared to him. He answered by fire because he's the God who hears and answers prayer. Again, the false gods of men, they've ears but do not hear. They've eyes but do not see, mouths but they do not speak. But our God knows all, sees all, and he speaks through his word. There's none compared to him. And so we learn also in Acts 17, verse 16, that whenever Paul, he arrived in Athens in Greece, he saw the city given to idolatry, wholly given to idolatry. The whole place was full of idols. We could say that about the city of London, the whole place given over to idols. Men worship so many different gods. But in case there was one missing, verse 22, there was this inscription to the unknown God, just to make sure, in case they missed someone. And so Paul, in verses 24 to 32, takes opportunity to preach about this one, whether it's inscribed to the unknown God, and he begins to tell them about this unknown God, who he actually is. Well, he's the God of heaven and earth. He's the creator. He's the one not made with man's hands. And he begins to speak about his incomparability. There's none like unto him. He's the Redeemer, the Savior, the Sustainer, the Creator. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. He gives breath. And then we learn in verse 34 that upon hearing the incomparability of God, certain men believed, and a woman named Demarius and others with them. You see, when Paul went to preach, he didn't invent another God. He didn't create his own God. Rather, he preached God's incomparability. He preached what God had revealed of himself. And as Paul preached who God was, souls came to the Savior. And therefore, as we are edified by the word of God, built up in our most holy faith, we will be strengthened and we will come to see there's none like unto our God. And sinners will be saved because salvation is of the Lord. None can save but the God of salvation. None can strengthen, sustain sinners. None other can meet the need of believers. He is all sufficient. And therefore, the incomparability of God is a revealed truth. It's in the word of God. And we've learned and we've read some of those prayers tonight of God's people, men and women, crying on to their God in prayer in the hardest of times. Who is like unto thee? There's none compared to thee. Notice also, secondly, briefly, God's incomparability is a redemptive truth. Verse 26, there's none like on to the God of Jeshurun. The name Jeshurun is used three times in Deuteronomy. Chapter 32, verse 25, 33, verse 3, and also in the verses that we read off today. It means upright. It's a poetical name for Israel. Signifies that which is delight, the favour upon a people. It is the name that signifies God has chosen and redeemed a people. The people who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The name is used once also in, or the third time in Isaiah 44 verses 1 and 2. Again, referring to redemption. Isaiah 44 verses 1 and 2. Hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. And so when speaking of Jacob, but the wider application to all the people of God states and demonstrates that God's incomparability is seen in his redeeming, delivering sinners from their sin. Again, Isaiah preached God's incomparability in Isaiah 45 verses 20 through to 22. He said there in verse 20 at the end, referring to men who worship false gods, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And notice what the Lord says himself. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. And so there you have Isaiah ministering to a people, delivering God's word. And the people are making their own gods from wood, their own idols. But the Lord says that there's no God else beside me. There's no other Saviour. There's none beside me. There's none to be compared to me. There's none as great as me. And that's why then Isaiah could then say after the Lord's word, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Notice again, for I am God and there is none else. Notice that the incomparability of God is a redemptive truth. Look unto me and be saved, for there's none else. There's no other Saviour, no other Redeemer, no other way to have your sin forgiven. Not by the church, not by the preacher, not by yourself, not by your good works. Salvation, redemption, the forgiveness of sin is by God alone. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. And may we pray that tonight, that the men and women in London, yea, United Kingdom, will look not to religion, not to themselves, not to these different schemes, but they will look to the Lamb, they'll look to the Lord and be saved. Because there's none compared on to him. There's none who can take away the guilt of sin. There's none who can take the burden of sin away. There's none who can save and transform a life. Only the Lord. Because there's none like unto him. He's the rock of salvation. And so he declares his incomparability as a redemptive truth. Because there's no other who can forgive sin but him alone. And child of God, you're assured this day. Because there's none like unto him. When you came and put your faith in him, your sins were blotted out. Your sins were put behind his back, never to be remembered anymore. There's none like unto him. When he promised to forgive all your sins, that's what he did. He forgave them all. When he promised he'll never bring them before you again, he does not. What a wonderful Saviour. There's none like unto him. And we could say a lot more about that. But time's pressing on. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. There's none like unto the God of his people. Notice finally and briefly, God's incomparability not only is a revealed truth, a redemptive truth, it is a reassuring truth. The last words, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Moses reminds God's people that God's incomparability is seen by his sovereign authority and power as exercised on behalf of his people. His incomparability is seen as he works on their behalf, as he acts for them. He comes for their help. All he does is for their good and his glory. Notice, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. That word help refers to a time of need. And therefore, when in a time of need, the Lord comes to help us in that need. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And maybe there's one you've come tonight. You're in a time of need. It's a health issue, a family issue, a work issue, a financial issue, whatever time of trouble it may be. And your back is against the wall, and you don't know what else to do. You have one who will help you, one who comes to your aid, one who comes to your assistance to draw near in a time of need. Maybe that struggle with the flesh, under temptation, the wicked one is pressuring you, coming along, coming to hinder you, as he did Paul. And you feel the opposition. You realize you're in the battle. In that time of need, the Lord comes to your rescue, comes to your aid. The heaven and the sky are his. Actually, this word is pictured as in the day of battle. Well, you remember in the olden days, maybe, I don't say they do it now, it's all army tanks and everything else, but in the olden days, they would have got on the horse, and when someone was in need, get on the horse, and that horse rode fast to go and help another person. And so that's the picture here. He comes swiftly to our help. Again, this is what Samuel meant. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13, we learn that the Lord, he said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Remember that word, I raise my Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That word helped is the word meaning to succor. Again, the same idea, come to the aid of, to ride to the aid of, to draw alongside to the one in need. And therefore, in our need, the Lord succors us. He draws alongside of us. Whatever that need may be, he rides to your aid. The heaven and the skies are his, and he runs across to meet you in your need. Again, that word hitherto. Hitherto hath the Lord helped, or hitherto hath the Lord succored us. Hitherto hath the Lord come to our aid. That word hitherto means all times. At all times, the Lord helped us. At all times, the Lord rises to our aid. It's a word, hitherto, that relates to past, present, and future. Just as he's come to your aid in the past, so he'll come to your aid in the present. And you have the confidence when you meet next week, next year, he'll still come to your aid. There's never a time when your God will let you down. There's never a time when God will fail you, because he's incomparable. There's none like unto him. Again, going back to last week's message, the prophets of Baal calling upon their gods, answer, answer. And they began to jump upon their idols. Answer, answer, from morning till noon, there was no answer. Because their false gods failed them, let them down in a day of need, in a day of trouble. But when Elijah prayed to his God, the true God, he answered, because there's none compared on to him. And therefore, believer, the Lord has helped you in the past. He'll help you in the present, and he'll help you in days to come. I don't know what the need is right now in your life. The trouble that you find yourself in, whatever you're going through, and it could be, say, whatever many things you want to mention, you know yourself. But the one who's helped you in the past is the one who'll help you now, and the one who'll help you in the future. Yea, the one who ran to your aid in the past will run to your aid in the present, and he will run to your aid in the future. Because he's incomparable. You see, he's eternal. He's infinite. He's not bounded. And he's unchanging. He does not change. That's why he's incomparable. And many wonderful truths. And so whatever experience, whatever testing time you're going from, you're experiencing, we have a fountain in Christ that will never run dry. And there is an abundance of supply. When it comes to the care and meeting the need of his people, none is compared to our God, because he charges himself with the care of his people. And so Moses reassures the people, he's coming to the end of his life. But as they take their journey onwards, God has raised up a Joshua to lead them on. And we have a greater picture of our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, who leads into blessing. Joshua was the one who led the people into blessing, into new territory. And so we are blessed in our Savior through him and blessed by him. And therefore, don't put your trust in man. Don't depend upon men. Put your trust in the Lord. In closing, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in all his glory, his incomparability will be seen and acknowledged by all. There's none compared unto him. When he returns with 10,000s of his saints to rule and reign with him, Revelation 19, verse 6, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Revelation 19, verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everyone will see he is the head of his church, the Savior of his body. Our God is incomparable. There is none like on to him. No one will ever love you as much as your Savior. No one will care for you as much as your Savior. No one will be there for you as much as your Savior. No one will cleanse you, forgive you as much as your Savior. There's none compared on to him. We feel him. We let him down day by day. But he will not cast off his inheritance. He will not forsake his people. Therefore, there's none like unto our God. It's a revealed truth. It's a redemptive truth. And it is a reassuring truth. Pray the Lord will write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.